quite
unusual.
Hi, you're listening to the Quite Unusual Podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Noelle.
And we are your hosts. And if you're just tuning into our show, this is actually a continuation of last week's topic, which was werewolves.
Werewolves.
Werewolves. Last week, we talked about the history of werewolves and some different legends from different regions. And today, we're going to talk about a man who actually believes he was a werewolf. Is a werewolf?
I think is. He's still alive.
Is? Yeah, true. So. We're also, we'd like to point out that we are not recording together in the haunted attic. Well, Noelle's in the haunted attic, right?
I am in the haunted attic all by myself. My dog was up here and now she isn't up here anymore and I'm alone and it's scary.
And I am in my bedroom, and that is because I have, in fact, tested positive for COVID.
COVID scare, 2020.
Yeah, so it hasn't been fun. I'm doing okay, quarantining myself. I can't smell or taste anything, which hasn't been fun.
I'm so sad. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's been terrible. So I guess without being too preachy, I just want to say wear a fucking mask because COVID's real. And if you don't know of anyone who's actually had it, now you do.
Yeah. So this episode is sponsored by the coronavirus. I guess that's just the main message here. We're going to talk about werewolves, and we're going to talk about how you need to wear a mask outside because coronavirus is real. Nicole has it. I got tested for it. I'm negative. Not to brag or anything. But it's fucking scary as shit. So please be safe.
We should probably bring that up that you don't have it because we do. We see each other a lot, so.
All the time. And we saw each other twice last weekend for Dungeons & Dragons. Yes, we play it. Don't at me.
We play it.
And also for recording. And somehow, by some miracle, I do not have coronavirus.
Yeah. And that was actually the time when I was probably the most contagious. It was like the couple days before the symptoms actually hit me, which they say is when you're the strongest contagious, I guess.
But luckily, that was also the day I ran out of spaghetti because we usually share a plate of spaghetti leading the tramp style. There's always that one noodle, you know, that you're slurping at, and it turns out you're slurping on the same noodle and then you kiss and it's like, what's going on here? So,
whoops. Yeah, happens all the time.
We had rigatoni last week, so we're safe.
Yeah, thank God for that rigatoni.
Thank God for rigatoni.
Lady in the tramping.
Yeah, lady in the tramping. Don't lady in the tramp during COVID season, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the moral of this story.
Yeah. Or you'll sound like me, if you can't tell that I am extremely congested right now. So I apologize if anyone is offended by my voice.
I think you sound okay, so it's going to be fine.
Okay, cool.
Like Nicole said, we are talking about a person that thinks he is a werewolf. If you want to learn more about actual werewolves and like the history and types of werewolf and stuff like that, you can check out our episode from last week, which is just titled Werewolves.
Yeah. Just werewolves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just werewolves.
If you think you might have a werewolf problem, we go over how to handle that in the first episode of our werewolf suite.
That's right. If you think that your neighbor is a werewolf, please refer to our guide on finding out if your neighbor is a werewolf in the last episode entitled, again, Werewolves.
Werewolves.
Yes. But without further ado, let's talk about a man named Bill Ramsey who thinks he was and is a werewolf.
Is? Like the question? Well, is he?
You know what? I'm not here to judge. If you want to be a werewolf, this is an accepting podcast. You can be whatever you want to be.
Live your life the way you want to live it.
You can be anything you want to be except a copycat killer. Just be yourself. Be a werewolf if you want to be a werewolf.
Be original, though. Just be original.
Be an original werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is getting rambly. Can I talk about Bill Ramsey?
Go for it.
Okay. Okay, great. So Bill Ramsey was born in 1943 in the town of Southend in Essex, England. And from what I know as a 90s baby, Essex, England is sort of like the valley of like England.
Is it?
It is. And Posh Spice is there. Like, oh my God.
Posh Spice is always there.
She lives there. She's locked in a cage there. Essex is sort of like the valley, and Posh Spice was born there, but she does not want to be associated with Essex anymore.
Why? Is she too posh for Essex?
She absolutely is. Like, I mean, everyone knows what the valley is, right? Like a valley girl. Like, oh my God. Like a valley girl. Right. So like Essex is like, oh my God, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, she kind of does talk like that in the Spice Girls movie. You know, have you seen that?
I'm sorry. Are you implying that I may not have seen that?
I'm sorry. Every 90s girl has seen that movie. I apologize.
Thank you. Thank you.
I apologize.
If you were across from me, I would throw some kettle corn at you right now. Anyways, Bill's early life was just completely normal. He would play outside with his friends. He never really caused any problems. And he was just generally regarded as like an easy, problem-free sort of child. His parents regarded him as extremely imaginative, and he would often spend hours outside getting lost in his imagination. Little else is known about Bill's childhood before he turned 9 years old. Seems specific, 9 years old. But when Bill was 9, there was an incident that changed the trajectory of his life completely and entirely.
Didn't we say from the episode when we talked about in our werewolves episode, 7 and 9, didn't those numbers keep coming up?
Oh, they totally did.
And he's 9. Do you think there's something to do with it? Oh, maybe. I don't know. Oh,
it might. I don't know. I'm not a werewolfologist. So when he was 9, it was a normal afternoon and little Bill was playing outside when he started to feel very strange. It was warm and pleasant outside, so the feeling was certainly out of place. The stress of it caused him to perspire and get all sweaty, but then he had a chilling cold that froze the sweat onto his skin. He later stated, "Have you ever walked into a meat locker right after you've been outside on a hot day?"
No, Bill. I can honestly say I have never done that.
That's like the most specific question ever.
Right. A meat locker.
Like, is he doing that all the time?
He's just walking into meat lockers on hot days.
Well, that's what he said it was like. So yeah, I guess he's just, that's one of his hobbies, walking into meat lockers. So if you have done that, you'll know exactly what Bill was feeling on that day. Bill also said that he was overwhelmed by an awful stench that filled him from like with extreme nausea. He was barely able to stop himself from vomiting from the smell that he just smelled out of nowhere. Then Bill was filled with an intense desire to run towards the ocean on all fours like an animal. He said he felt like an animal, and he had vivid and repeating images of wolves playing through his head.
I wonder why it made him run towards the ocean.
Because he's wild and free.
Oh, okay. Like, okay. All right.
I don't know. That's just what I'm picturing. I feel like when I think of the ocean, I think of like horses galloping on the beach and like birds flying all over. And it's just like these wild and free animals.
I guess that's true. I don't think werewolves, though.
I've never seen a wolf on the beach, but there's a like first time for everything.
A beach wolf?
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice.
He's got sunglasses and swimming trunks on.
Oh, yeah. Like a cool beach wolf. Like he has like a little boogie board and like maybe he like feasts on the carcass of like a beached whale or something.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. He's not a regular wolf. He's a cool wolf. Well, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to run towards the ocean like a cool wolf. And he felt in that moment that something inside of him changed. He felt like he was a wolf and no longer just a carefree child as he was moments ago. Bill's mom saw that there was something wrong and she went out to check on him. She tried to snap him out of his trance, but this seemed to aggravate him further. The images of wolves in his mind soon turned to ones of violence and hatred. He began to growl and become filled with unbridled rage. Little 9-year-old Bill pulled a fence post out of the ground with his bare hands.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and he began swinging the post like a club towards his mom. His father came out to see what was going on, and to his horror, his 9-year-old son seemed to have the strength of an adult man. When they tried to take the post away from him, they were unable to pry it from his hands. The boy then began to chew on the metal mesh of the fence, snarling and growling like a wild animal.
Okay, now that is metal.
Oh, is that a dad joke? Slow clap for the dad joke.
I know I didn't intend it to be one, but it kind of is, so we'll go with it.
It absolutely very cool, Nicole. I miss you. Well, obviously this terrified his parents because their tiny little baby boy is chewing on, I'm going to assume, some sort of chicken wire situation on this fence.
Yeah, I'm picturing it like the Negan's bat from The Walking Dead. Like he's just gnawing on that thing.
Yeah, he for sure is. And this terrified his parents, so obviously they ran away and they fled to the house for fear of what their son was capable of. He's a little boy, right? And I mean, you're not supposed to like abandon your children or whatever. But I can honestly say that if my kid was like, I'm just going to chew on this wire and growl at you, I'd probably maybe take at least one step back.
Oh, I'd bail so hard. I'm going to lock myself in the house away from you.
Well, that's exactly what they did. And Bill's episode lasted several minutes. And once he calmed down, his mother went out to bring Bill back into the house. She said she was super scared, but again, that's her baby boy and you got to do what you got to do. Through tears, the parents tended the awful cuts in his mouth and on his lips from chewing on the wire fence.
Yeah, I bet.
I saw somewhere that he basically just like blood was pouring out of his mouth from these wounds.
Oh my God. Can you imagine like not being able to control your 9-year-old son being running away from him and he's just like gnawing on metal and wood?
It freaked out the Ramseys, so they told their son to never ever bring this up to anyone and to keep his shame to himself.
Oh, yes, Bill, please do not tell the neighbors that you ripped out a fence post and started gnawing on it.
But Dad, you know I like to brag to the neighbors.
Is that the Essex accent?
I don't think it is. There's so many accents in England. And I know. I watched a bunch of YouTube videos on how to do an Essex accent.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I wanted to nail it. And it's hard. There's so many different accents. I'm like, this island's like the size of, what, Illinois? And they have like 55 different accents.
I know. It's crazy. It's, like each town is a different accent.
Yeah. Honestly, it sounds made up. So to all of our listeners in England, which I know we have a lot, please explain to me why every town has a different accent. I'm not joking. Thank you.
I know. I'm actually very curious too.
And also, let me know if I do a good Essex accent.
Yeah, write in. Just, let us
know. Write in to let us know. QuiteUnusualPod@gmail.com. Am I nailing this? Bill began to forget about the strange and aggressive events of his childhood, and everything was totally normal for 15 years of his life. He grew up. He got married. His wife is adorable. Her name is Nina. They had 3 beautiful children, and according to family and friends, Ramsey was just like a wonderful father who doted on his children. He was a carpenter and led an entirely conventional, very normal life for 15 years. However, shortly after Bill married his wife, he was plagued by terrifying nightmares. He would see himself aggressively chasing after his wife. The dreams would always end with her turning to look at him, her face twisted into an expression of horror. Bill would awaken from the dreams in a cold sweat, filled with the deep feeling of dread. On some nights when he awoke from these dreams, he was certain that he could hear the ragged breathing of a wild animal coming from somewhere inside the room. However, he soon realized that the animalistic noises were coming from his own throat.
The call is coming from inside the house.
The beast is coming from inside the Bill.
Yes.
No. That's pretty scary. To just be making like animal noises in your sleep. I bet Nina was looking over at him like, what the fuck did I marry?
And then he realizes that it's actually just him.
I would fucking leave him. I'm so sorry. I absolutely would.
Yeah, I'd make him sleep in a different room for sure.
I can't handle snoring. I definitely can't handle growling in your sleep.
Yeah, no, that's a hard no for me.
It's gonna be you're going to sound like a wolf in your sleep. That's going to be a no for me, dog. Well, in 1967, 2 years after their wedding, the dreams just totally stopped and everything seemed to go back to normal for now, dot, dot, dot.
Until.
Dot, dot, dot.
In 18. I mean. Shit. In 1983, when shit really starts to hit the fan. In early 1983, Bill decides that he is going to go out drinking with a couple of friends when all of a sudden, a familiar sensation begins to take hold of him. Bill feels a sudden rush of ice and starts to get a cold sweat.
Sounds like a man walking into a walk-in freezer on a very warm summer day.
Bill started to feel like he was going to throw up. So he excused himself and he went to the bathroom. So while Bill is in the bathroom, Bill looks in the mirror and does not see himself staring back at him. Instead, he sees the face of a wolf staring back at him. So Bill is still feeling sick and now he's a little confused by the whole wolf in a mirror situation. So he asks his friend if he can take him home and his friend agrees. So while they're in the car on the way home, Bill claims that he was suddenly overcome with anger and hot rage and that he completely lost control. So Bill started to act like a wolf. He started growling and snarling and even turned to his friend next to him and tried to bite his leg.
I would flip the fuck out if my friend tried to bite my leg.
If I just turned around and just tried to bite you.
Okay, if they're sitting in a car, it's not even the easiest place to bite someone. Like, I know, right? Go for the arm or something, Bill. What are you doing, you weirdo?
He's just going straight for the leg.
Yeah, he just like sticks his head like down, like, down and tries to bite his friend's kneecap off.
So the driver pulls the car over and the group of friends, they try to restrain Bill, but they said that he was freakishly strong and it took all of his friends together to be able to get complete control over him.
So he's back to that like superhuman strength.
Yeah, that 9-year-old chewing on a fence post strength.
I'm going to start saying that. I feel as strong as a 9-year-old chewing on a fence.
I like it.
Thanks.
Eventually, Bill starts to come back to normal and is confused because he says he did not remember what had just happened. Things quieted down for a bit, and Bill's friends probably stopped inviting him out until later that year, around Christmas, when Bill started to get sharp pains in his chestal region.
Ooh, the chestal region.
The chestal region. And he experienced several more cold sweat situations.
The walk-in freezer.
The meat locker. So Bill, thinking logically, thought he was showing early signs of a major heart attack. So he checks into a hospital just to see what's up.
Smart, smart.
Yeah. So the hospital staff, they put Bill on a gurney, but as he waited for the doctor, the familiar cold and sweat and chill he had experienced the 2 times prior came over him again.
Uh-oh.
Meat locker time.
It's meat locker time.
So when a nurse went to go examine Bill, he growled at her and he grabbed for her arm and he actually bites into it.
Holy shit.
He breaks skin this time.
No.
So he escapes from the gurney and he started to crash around the room, throwing furniture in his wake. People said he looked like an animal in a cage.
Or a man in a meat locker. I'm never going to let it go.
Or a man in a meat locker.
You look like a caged animal or a Bill in a meat locker.
The hospital called the police and together they were able to restrain Bill, although with difficulty due to his newfound superhuman strength. They shot him up with tranquilizers while he was trying to bite everyone he came into contact with. And a police officer on the scene stated that Bill had a ferocious wolf-like glare in his eyes.
Why am I picturing like a nurse peeking around the door and being like, "No again, Bill," and like shooting him with like one of those blow dart tranquilizers like into his neck and he's just like
she blows it.
And he's like, rah, rah, rah.
just knocking things over as he falls down.
Yeah, it's like a real like hunting Bigfoot situation in this hospital.
Oh man, that's such a good visual in my brain right now. They brought Bill to Runwell Mental Hospital, and once he awoke, he had no memory of viciously biting anyone and had no idea why he was even in the mental hospital.
Well, it's because you were viciously biting people, Bill.
We had to blow dart you in the neck, Bill. The doctors look at Bill and they're like, we think you should stay for further testing because you just acted like a wolf and bit another human. But Bill was like, nah, I'm good.
Because he doesn't remember it.
I mean, according to him, it didn't happen. Since he was the only one who originally checked himself into the hospital in the first place, he technically had the option to leave on his own will. So the doctors told him that he would most likely experience another episode like this one and pleaded with him to stay, but Bill was stubborn and just ignored their advice and left.
Okay, I'm just going to put this out there. If I went insane and started biting people and had to get blow darted in the neck by like a nurse, which yeah. I'm just going to say absolutely happened, like that's canon.
Oh, that's the only, yeah, that's the only way they were able to restrain him.
That's how they tranquilize people in England. I watched a lot of Downton Abbey, trust me.
Are they blow darting a lot of people in the neck in that show?
Only people that need to like be blow darted. Like if you're biting someone, you need to be blow darted, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So if I, in good conscience, know that I am biting people and had to get blow darted, I think I am going to choose the route of the mental institution. It's like, at this point in my life, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm biting nurses. They don't deserve this.
Right. Like, I should probably, as a person, figure out why I'm doing this.
Yeah, but Bill was like, nah, fuck that, I'm out.
Yeah, pretty much.
I ain't got no bloody time for this.
That's it. That's a direct quote, actually.
That's a quote. It's right here in quotes in our notes.
In January of 1984, Bill decides that he was going to go visit his mother. While he's on his way, driving in his car, Bill starts to get the same familiar meat locker sensation that usually means he's going to wolf out.
No.
So noticing this, he turns his car around and drives to the emergency room.
And he walks in and they're like, oh, fuck no.
They're like, not fucking Bill again.
It's Bill. Get the blow darts.
So when he gets there, Bill he's already wolfed out. He's acting like a feral beast. A nurse tells him to wait for a doctor and Bill freaks out, lunges towards her and throws her to the ground.
Whoa.
A nearby orderly sees this happen and rushes to her aid. Bill grabs the orderly and starts choking him while also trying to bite him.
Oh my god.
Police are called again, and in an effort by four officers are able to restrain Bill and get the handcuffs on him, though they were afraid that the handcuffs would not hold because of how strong he was.
Because he was wolfed out. I love that phrase.
I know, right?
He's all wolfed out.
All wolfed out. One of the four officers was injured pretty badly by trying to wrangle him and actually spent 4 days in the hospital afterwards.
Wow.
Once they have handcuffs on Bill, they put him in the back of the police car and he wakes up. And once again, he just doesn't recall anything that just happened. Bill explains to the cops this condition that has been terrorizing him for the past, I guess, year. So the cops, who naturally don't believe him, tell him that he needs to check himself into a mental hospital. Once again, Bill's just like, nope, I'm good.
What a dick.
Such a dick.
Dude, again, if you know you have a history of wolfing out and biting people, just get help, man. It's okay. Don't be ashamed.
Right. And the police are even telling you to do it at this point, Bill. Mm. I mean,
I wish he went by Willy Werewolf. I'm just going to put that out there.
Willy the Werewolf.
Instead of Bill, I wish he was Willy Werewolf.
That would be amazing. So a couple of years go by. Bill doesn't experience any other episodes until July 22nd, 1987. Bill decides that he's going to stop by a bar called White Horse Inn and grab a drink after work. Apparently, Bill still has friends. I don't know, maybe they're new, but he meets up with some friends and they're all drinking and having a good time. And Bill realizes that he's pretty drunk.
Like leg biting drunk.
Almost. More like car crashing drunk.
Oh, okay.
So Bill knows he's drunk, possibly too drunk to drive, but he decided to throw caution to the wind and drive home anyways.
Smart.
Yeah, I'm starting to think Bill wasn't that great of a dude, like, just to begin with.
He's, honestly, he's kind of a giant, like, asshole.
He's kind of a dick.
Yeah. A bit of a dick, Bill.
A bit of a dick, Bill. Since he knew he was too drunk, in order to avoid getting pulled over, Bill decided that he was going to take the quiet side roads home in order to avoid the police.
So he's done this before. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, totally. He probably has a route that he takes.
So terrible.
Dick. This is the point in the story where I just call bullshit on Bill. So let me finish telling you and we'll see what you think. Okay.
Okay. All right.
While driving home, Bill comes across a lone sex worker walking on the side of the road. Bill pulls over and invites her to come in his car.
Okay.
While they are driving, Bill starts to get wolfy once again. The icy chill, the cold sweats, the feeling ill, it all starts to hit him. So the sex worker, who has probably seen worse shit than this, to be honest,
yeah,
sees this happening, starts to get a bad feeling about this guy. So she demands that he let her out. Bill turns to her and lets out a low, feral growl.
Okay. So he's growling at sex workers.
He's growling.
Just want to point out, he has a wife and family.
Right. Well, we'll just hear his side of the story at the end. That's the part I want your opinion on.
Okay, I'll stop interrupting.
When the car slows down, she sees her opportunity and she bails from the car. And shockingly enough, they were actually near a police station. So she runs to it because she is just frightened of Bill. So she tells the police what's going on, and the police come out to meet Bill, who he's just full on wolf right now.
Just wolfed out.
So he starts fighting the cops. He's biting them, he's thrashing, and he yells. Do you want to read this in his voice?
Yeah, he yells, "The devil is inside me. I'm going to kill you." Was that good?
That was amazing. I'm just so amazed by all of your accents.
Thanks. Bill's actually here. That's why you weren't invited over. It's just me and Bill
sitting here. Oh, okay. Hey, what's up, Bill?
Me, Bill, and Tati. So
this time, it takes 6 officers and several tranquilizer injections to stop Bill. After which, Bill has no idea what happened.
Okay.
Bill claims, and this is the part, Bill claims that he picked up the sex worker, whose name is Lauren, mm-hmm. because he was making a citizen's arrest, which I call bullshit on. Tell the truth, Bill. He totally wanted her services, and then he just made up that lie when he was caught. Like, yeah. Why would you drunkenly make a citizen's arrest if you were already worried about getting pulled over by the cops?
It's a fucking lie. Okay, so he takes all these back roads so he doesn't get, like, pulled over and doesn't get seen. And then he picks up a sex worker and he's like, "Oh, I was just trying to rid the streets of filth." Like, hi, Bill, you are the fucking filth, just so you know.
And then he drives to a no, that doesn't, I'm not buying it, Bill.
No, because he didn't expect to get wolfed out. He thought he was just going to bang Lauren and then not tell his wife.
Oh, totally. And he's a dick.
I mean, Willie the werewolf had different plans for him. Maybe it's like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing. Like, he's
I think it is,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He's like Bill Ramsey, like, by day, and like Willie the werewolf at night.
Totally. Willie the werewolf. Lauren says she doesn't believe he wanted to arrest her. She says that she believed he picked her up because he wanted to attack her.
Makes sense. Checks out.
Right. After this, Bill finally checks himself into a mental hospital for evaluation. They run a bunch of tests, x-rays, MRIs, but they can't really find a cause for all of these ferocious episodes.
Mm.
After keeping him for 10 days, in which he did not have an outburst once, They found there was nothing wrong with him that they could find mentally or physically. So they just had no choice but to release him back into the wild.
Oh, another slow clap for the joke. That's so good.
Thanks. I'm taking a bow right now, but you can't see.
That's amazing, I'm sure.
The ordeal at the police station made international headlines and labeled Bill as the South End Werewolf, which would go on to catch the attention of two notorious self-proclaimed expert demonologists, Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Never heard of them. Just kidding. The famous demonologists and investigators of the supernatural, Ed and Lorraine Warren, had heard of the South End Werewolf, and at this time, he was international news, so duh, they heard of him.
Right.
I just want to sidebar really quick here. Why is it always Ed and Lorraine Warren? Like, when can Lorraine go first?
Lorraine and Ed Warren?
Yeah. Let's just
start saying it that way. Hopefully it'll catch on.
Yeah, I'm going to start saying it, and then people are going to be like, oh, do you even know anything about the Warrens? It's Ed and Lorraine, not Lorraine and Ed. Well, the Warrens were supposedly very suspicious of this whole situation, and they thought it had been a hoax, but seeing as how they happened to be in London, great timing, they decided to contact local law enforcement officials to ask about Bill's case. The Warrens asked the police for Bill's contact information, and they were able to get in touch with the Ramseys and arrange to meet with them, which seems very unprofessional for the police to just be giving out his information.
Yeah, right? Hey, do you have the number of that werewolf guy? And the police were like, well, yes, we have it right here.
Oh, sure. Here's his business card.
It says, like, carpenter/werewolf. Badass werewolf.
Need a bite? I'll do it right. Call Bill.
Bill Ramsey, carpenter/badass werewolf.
Actually, would be a pretty cool business card. Have, so I support that.
I mean,
after several talks with the police and with Bill's family, it soon became apparent that the strange events that had transpired were very real, although no one had any idea what caused them. The Warrens believed that he was possessed by some sort of animal demon. Are there werewolf demons? Asking for a friend?
I don't know. Are they? Well, probably to the Warrens, because everything's a demon with them.
Dude, so everything's a demon.
Everything's a demon.
Well, they wanted to help Bill and rid him of his werewolf demon. And I'm just going to say this, and these thoughts are my own and do not reflect on anything Nicole feels, unless she thinks so. But I assume that the Warrens also saw notoriety, and they saw dollar signs when they heard about Bill Ramsey.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's like if a dollar can be made, the Warrens show up.
Right. They'll just write like 7 books on it and just make bank.
They definitely do write a book. Spoiler alert.
Of course they do.
Of course. The Warrens convince Bill to travel to Connecticut to be exorcised by their friend and specialist, Bishop Robert McKenna. Bishop Robert McKenna was what you could consider an expert in the art of exorcism, having completed many at this point in his life. And there's a lot of really interesting stuff about Robert McKenna that I think we should talk about at a later episode, because this guy he's got a lot going on with exorcisms in like the Catholic Church.
I was going to say, how many people are actually getting possessed like daily? How does he have many completed at his life, like in his lifetime?
I was looking up like a biography of him, and the Catholic Church is like, we do not condone him in any possible way. Anything he does is unsanctioned. It's like they want to be away from him.
He's not even a real bishop.
his first name is Bishop, middle name Robert, last name McKenna. So kind of crazy, right? It's not, that was a lie.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so he's crazy, and we should talk about him at some later date. But this is the guy that the Warrens swore by. They're like, you gotta meet Rob. He's gonna fix your werewolf problem.
I got a bishop for that.
You gotta see a bishop about an exorcism. Bill was very reluctant at first, but since he felt that his transformations were back and he wanted to find a real solution, he agreed to go along with his wife, Nina, who probably just wanted to keep him from, hiring sex workers, I'm just going to assume.
Right. So not only is he, she puts up with him the fact that he's a werewolf.
Yes. Strike one.
And he also cheats on her.
Strike two. Yeah. Bill's kind of a dick, again, a bit of a dick. And yeah. I don't know what Nina sees with him, like, at this point. Like, why is she with him? The night before his scheduled exorcism, while the Ramseys slept, the South End werewolf, Willie Werewolf, crept into Bill's psyche. Nina was awoken by Bill's hands around her throat. But, conveniently, Bill has no recollection of this event happening in the morning. I mean, just imagine that.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say, when we were talking about Nina, I'm surprised that his episodes were never actually directed at her. Because I feel like that would happen a lot. Like, she would get the brunt of it.
Oh, for sure.
But I guess this is the first. I guess no one's safe in Bill Ramsey's life.
That's right. I would imagine too. I mean, he had those dreams where he was like chasing her and like attacking her and stuff.
Oh, but yeah.
It kind of seems like this is the first time he actually like puts his hands on her.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
Oh, for sure. Finally, the day of the exorcism is upon them, and it's quite the affair, if I do say. In attendance was Bishop McKenna, the Warrens, Bill Ramsey and his wife, paranormal investigator John Zaffis, staff from a local magazine called The People.
Okay.
Well, The People funded the trip, the magazine did.
Oh, they want to, like, profile it?
Yeah, so they were there. They paid for this.
With the werewolf exorcism?
Yeah. And several off-duty policemen who were hired as bodyguards just in case things started to, like, spiral out of control, which...
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Yeah, great idea. When the exorcism began, Bill was reportedly very skeptical and extremely unimpressed. And as the bishop spoke in Latin, Bill just sat there. He said he felt absolutely nothing. Bill was afraid that this had been a mistake and a waste of time. He called the whole thing mumbo jumbo in a later interview.
Good one, Bill.
Yeah. Mumbo jumbo. Whoa, that was fun. I would use that word too if I had that accent.
Just roll off the tongue.
Try it. It's great.
Mumbo jumbo. Oh, it is really good.
It's super fun.
It's really good.
All right, everyone listening, pause the episode for 1 second and say mumbo jumbo in a British accent and thank us later.
It's a wild time.
Then when Bishop McKenna took out his cross and pressed it to Bill's forehead, things started to get a little interesting. The bishop demanded that the demon identify itself, and Bill's demeanor changed in an instant. He began to snarl and growl, his brow lowered, his teeth bared, his eyes became wild-looking, and he took on an animalistic expression. His hands tensed and curled into claws, and he began to thrash around full of rage and fury. Lorraine Warren would later describe Bill as having physically changed. She said that his ears became more pointed and his face became feral looking. She also said that his hands shape-shifted into monster-like claws.
Of course she did. I bet she could see the spirit of the wolf leave his body too, right?
This is a little extreme for me. I want to believe I do, okay, but... I don't think his ears became pointy, and I don't think he looked like a wolf.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. No to that one, too.
Bishop McKenna said that Bill's appearance did change as well, but just more of like an anger type situation, like an angry human man, not a werewolf man.
Not a wolf.
not a full-on wolf. He didn't wolf out on this one. But in the exact moment he pressed the cross to his forehead is when he saw the change. Bill lunged forward like a man possessed. Bill tried to maul the bishop, but the bishop dodged out of the way, stepping backwards and grabbing a crucifix. He commanded in a booming Latin voice that he demand that the demon leave at once. This seemed to anger Bill as he took a swipe with his, quote, claws at Bishop McKenna, just as the police stood to subdue Bill. The bishop demanded that they remain seated and let the whole thing play out. Bill once again lunged forward to strike, ready to kill, when suddenly he dropped to the floor with a heavy roaring sigh. What began in an instant was halted in an instant, and the flurry of rage and snarls ended with just a man piled on the floor in a panting heap. Bill would later come to say, The poison that had been in my body drained from me completely. I was left without any strength at all, and when I turned to look at Nina, the small movement caused me a blackout. I gripped the chair as tightly as I could and let the demon continue to push away from Bishop McKenna's Latin words, innit it?
Did he really say innit it, or did you just add that part in?
I added it because it's like my favorite thing the British people say.
I knew it.
It's a bit of jolly fun, innit it?
That's exactly what he said about this whole thing. It's a bit of jolly fun, innit it? I was going to say he probably would have been more along the lines of bloody hell.
God, I love Britishisms. They're so great.
I know. I was watching Harry Potter earlier today.
Yeah.
I love how everyone talks in that movie.
It's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing.
Were you watching it in preparation of talking in a British accent in this episode?
I was just really watching it because I'm obsessed with Harry Potter and it was on TV and there was nothing else on, so.
All right, that checks out.
Yeah.
Well, this whole exorcism was caught on film, but conveniently the film was never released.
Oh, of course.
All of those that were present claim that the events happened exactly as I just described. Bill was never afflicted by the werewolf inside again. Willie Werewolf moved along.
Oh.
Bill Ramsey went to live a normal life of anonymity with his family, and now I did math and he should be about 77 years old.
So he's still alive?
I think so. I couldn't find anything that he died.
Oh, cool.
I mean, 77's not very old.
We should write to him.
Yeah. Where do we find Willie Werewolf? If anyone's in Essex or knows Bill Ramsey, please. You know, we should just go to Essex and ask the police there because apparently they just give out his information.
Right. They have a whole stack of just like his address, like card.
Yeah.
And they just hand everyone who comes.
What did his card say?
Carpenter / badass werewolf.
Yeah, yeah. So we need to go get one of those.
Yeah, we do.
The Warrens, of course, wrote a book on the whole thing because they always write books.
Oh, yeah.
This one is called Werewolf: The True Story of Demonic Possession. And it can be yours for the low, low price of $12.99.
Well, the dollar signs in their eyes and the ka-ching in their ears once they came across a story, obviously they wrote a book called that shit.
I love it. Werewolf, a true story of demonic possession. In the book, the Warrens mentioned that Bill Ramsey could have had an affliction called clinical lycanthropy, which Nicole is pretty much an expert on. So do you want to explain that for us?
An expert in the sense that I did some research before this podcast. I'm not like a psychiatrist or anything. No. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
So the definition of lycanthropy in the encyclopedia is described as a mental disorder. It is a disorder in which the patient believes he or she is legitimately a wolf or some sort of animal. It's usually whatever animal in that particular region is the most dangerous. So it could be a lion, could be a tiger, could even be a bear. Oh my.
A werebear.
A werebear. Hey. Which I thought was kind of interesting because it's not just specific to wolves. I guess it's just any of the like strong animals that are wherever you live.
Yeah, I sort of like that. Like you, it's not like pigeonholed. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to be a werewolf if you don't want. You can be a werebear. You can be a weretiger.
Yeah.
You can be a weresquirrel if you're very scared of squirrels.
Like like in True Blood, they have werepanthers and they're panthers.
Oh, cool.
And they shift into panthers. Yeah.
I never saw True Blood, but
I'm rewatching it all, actually, recently. So.
I can only assume it's a ripoff of Twilight.
It has its similarities, but yeah. It's not. It's like the less PG version of Twilight.
You know, we talked about Twilight so much on the last episode. We got so many DMs on Instagram from people being like, I still love it, too. So all of our little Twihards out there.
Yes.
We love you and you're not alone.
Yeah, we also still love Twilight. Sure. I'll admit it.
I love it. We have a poster in our recording studio of Bella and Edward.
I wish I still had my cardboard cut out of Edward.
Oh my God, I forgot.
I think my mom threw it away.
Connie, no!
No!
All right, let's get back to the episode.
Lycanthropy is considered a delusion and a superstition, and also a psychiatric disorder. So I guess in the sense, lycanthropy is the medical term for werewolfism.
It's pretty cool.
There's even a medical term for someone like Bill who believes that they are in fact a werewolf. And this is what is called clinical lycanthropy. And it's defined as a rare psychiatric syndrome that involves a delusion that the affected person can transform into an animal. And the word clinical is used to emphasize the fact that the person cannot actually physically transform.
So it's like a mental transformation.
Yeah. It's all in their head. Lorraine Warren.
She swears she saw it. Okay. She saw it.
Also, like Bill, the transformation only happens in a person's mind. So no ripping off skin to reveal a wolf.
So like we talked about in the last episode, if you like slice like your neighbor's arm and there's hair right inside like the cut, then they're a werewolf.
There won't be hair in the cut of a person with clinical lycanthropy.
Okay, okay. The wolf is in the brain, not the wolf. Body.
Maybe if you cut the brain open.
Hmm. Oh, it'd be all hairy. Gross.
Gross. The delusion and hallucination happens in the mind of the person plagued with clinical lycanthropy. Although this syndrome can also cause the person to act and resemble animalistic behavior such as growling, biting, howling, and crawling. Dr. Jan Dirk Blom is an assistant professor of psychiatry at the University of Groningen in the Netherlands. And he was curious to find out just exactly how many cases of clinical lycanthropy that were medically documented throughout the years. Turns out, not a lot. Since 1850, there have been only 56 documented cases of people who actually believed they had the ability to turn into an animal, and only 13 out of those 56 were considered clinical lycanthropy.
Really?
It's believed that the number is so low because doctors usually don't use the term. Usually, I mean, it is a medical disorder, but most doctors instead will diagnose another disorder such as like schizophrenia or bipolar instead.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Right. Clinical lycanthropy can affect both men and women, and symptoms can last anywhere from an hour to years. The first report of clinical lycanthropy was in 1852 in France when a man was admitted to an asylum in Nancy, France. Is that how you pronounce that?
I would call it Nancy. It's spelled like Nancy.
Right. It's spelled like the name. So we're going to go with that. The man believed that he had wolf's teeth, cloven feet, and that his body was covered in hair. He said he only wanted to eat raw meat, but when they gave him raw meat, he refused it and said that it wasn't rotten enough for his taste, which sounds like a little bit of an excuse to me.
Oh, but for sure. He's like, I am a werewolf with cloven feet, and I only want to eat rotten meat. And this meat that you give me is, it's not rotten enough. Could you maybe throw it on the grill for me?
He was calling their bluff and didn't think that they'd actually bring him raw meat. But then when they did, he was like, oh, it's not rotten enough.
It's not gross enough for me. So maybe just bring me some wine and cheese instead, and we'll call it a day.
Right. Other patients have reported looking in the mirror and seeing a wolf staring back at them. Sound familiar? Cough,
absolutely.
Bill.
Absolutely. Cough, Bill.
Regardless if you believe, if you want to believe, or if you're just straight up skeptic about everything, these stories have to come from somewhere, right? I mean, I guess people can just be super creative and create them like these monsters. But I want to talk about possible explanations for where this lore could have stemmed.
Okay.
So let's talk about rabies.
Rabies. I'm imagining just like a beautiful neon sign being like rabies.
Rabies. So symptoms of rabies kind of fall in line with the symptoms of lycanthropy. The following is a list of symptoms of a rabid person or a person with rabies. So symptoms include biting, extremely aggressive behavior.
Check.
Fear of light and water, which I never knew that was a thing with rabies. I mean, light makes sense because I think I've heard of rabid animals tend to come out at night, but water I've never heard of.
Yeah, and also just to bring it back to Bill Ramsey, he specifically wanted to go to the ocean.
Right.
So he probably didn't have rabies.
Yeah. And the last is that it's transmitted through saliva, specifically through a bite.
Okay.
So sound familiar? The only thing we're missing here is the full moon. When a person is infected with rabies, the virus travels to the spinal cord and then makes its way over to the brain. It affects the central nervous system and basically travels through your whole body and causes you to behave rapidly.
That is the most metal thing ever. It goes straight to your spinal cord and up into your brain.
Into your brain. Author Ian Woodward wrote about this rabies theory in his book, The Werewolf Delusion, in 1978. Another condition that bears a striking resemblance to werewolfism is congenital hypertrichosis lanuginosa? Lanuginosa?
That looks right.
Also known as wolfitis. So we're just going to call it that.
It is not known as wolfitis. I'm so sorry, ma'am, but it appears that your son has wolfitis.
Wolfitis.
This is reminding me of Futurama. With that one episode where the guy has bonitis, so he freezes himself and he comes back later. And then he's dying at the end and he's like, my one regret is having bonitis, but it's wolfitis.
Wolfitis. So yeah, this wolfitis is an extremely rare skin disease. Symptoms of this disorder include excessive hair growth, mainly on the upper body and facial areas.
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams. Why Robin Williams?
He was like the hairiest person on the planet.
Was he really?
Yes, dude. You don't know this?
No.
All right. Look up pictures of Robin Williams. Just Google Robin Williams arms or something. He was like the hairiest person on the planet.
Really? I've literally never heard that. Now I'm going to have to Google Robin Williams' arms.
Are you Googling it right now? Do it.
Well, I was going to say what it reminded me of actually was the story that you told in our werewolves episode, the one right before this. What was his name? It was like the Shaolin werewolf?
Yes, the Shaolin werewolf, Tai Jin, the Kung Fu werewolf, I like to call him.
With like the hair. So he obviously had this disorder.
Oh, for sure.
All right, I just Googled Robin Williams' hairy arms.
Yeah.
He does have really hairy arms.
He has super hairy arms.
There's like a black and white picture of him, and it looks like a wolf arm, actually.
He's unbelievably hairy. R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. We love him. All right. Enough of Robin Williams' arms. Back onto the story.
Enough Googling Robin Williams' body hair. Let's get back to it.
So when we see real life Wolfman or ads from carnivals with freak shows where it's like Wolf Boy, chances are that person just had this rare disease.
Right. It's just super sad.
Yeah. It doesn't make you rabid. It doesn't make you bite people or make you turn at a full moon. It's just a skin disease. It just makes you grow hair in places that most people don't. Another possible explanation for lycanthropy is food contamination.
Oh.
Ergot is a fungal disease of rye, wheat, and other grains. And I guess in Europe during the Middle Ages, these grains were a staple in most people's diets. It's actually really gross. I looked up a picture of it, and the fungus, what it looks like is this little black protruding, almost like worm thing that sticks out of the grain.
Ew. That sounds really very disgusting.
It is. It's also chemically related to LSD, and it can cause hallucinations, a lack of self-control, mood swings, hysteria, paranoia, mania, nausea, vomiting, seizures, and also gangrene, which I do not recommend looking up pictures of because I almost vomited.
That's very, very disgusting. So if you see like little black worms coming out of your wheat products, it's not cool hallucinogens. Right. It's like it's going to make your body rot. So
right.
Just don't eat it.
And apparently this shit happened all the time in villages and everyone just started tripping, basically.
Oh, no.
This little fungus can cause a person to believe they are a werewolf and can also cause a whole town to believe that they've seen one and are possibly being attacked by one.
Okay, so it's like if your whole town's wheat supply gets infected by this disgusting little fungus, which I just looked up, and it's very, very gross, and it made me like nauseous to look at. then you're just going to suffer from like mass hysteria, and you'll probably be very like suggestible. So if someone's like, werewolf, and you're like, they're wolf, and then everyone just thinks that there's werewolves everywhere, and it sounds fucking terrible.
Right. It's like if the town, just everyone was on the same trip. All at once, just believing that there's a werewolf rampaging their like town. Terrible. Which is actually kind of funny.
It's not funny because it makes you get gangrene and then your body parts like rot off.
In 1951, a case of ergot poisoning was recorded in France in the town of Pont-Saint-Esprit. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Sounds right to me.
This outbreak sounds right to me. This outbreak was caused by rye bread with a side of ergot fungus, and it caused the townspeople to experience terrible hallucinations, and some believed they were actually being attacked by beasts like tigers and snakes. And they also believed that people were turning into these beasts. In total, about 135 people were hospitalized, and 6 people actually died from the poisoning.
Oh, that's terribly sad.
Yeah. But maybe they had a good trip.
They probably didn't if they thought that, like, snakes, like bears, like covered in snakes were coming to, like, eat them or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was probably a terrible trip, and then they died tragically, so... Sorry to say, but yeah, it's super sad and also very recent. So that makes it even more sad to me. Right. Well, let's jump like back in time here for just a minute. Because I want to talk about more people that suffered from clinical lycanthropy, if that's cool.
Yeah, let's do it.
In the Middle Ages, there was this whole period of time called the Werewolf Trials. Have you heard of this?
I have never heard of the Werewolf Trials.
It's very much like the Salem Witch Trials.
Oh, I've heard of those.
Yeah, so people were convicted of being werewolves, and it was always by their own admission.
What?
Perhaps if there had been more, like, understanding of mental health back then these people would have been spared. But yeah. This is right around the time when they realized that the Earth orbited the sun and not vice versa. So an understanding of mental health, just, it seems like a lot to ask, you know?
Yeah, agreed. Wait, so these people... they were the ones who outed themselves as being the werewolves because they truly thought that they were, and then they were punished for them saying that they were werewolves?
Yeah, exactly like how Bill thought he was a werewolf, you know? It's like these people think that they're werewolves.
And then they tell on themselves?
Well, I don't know. If you're acting like a werewolf and someone's like, what are you doing? And you're like, I'm a werewolf.
Werewolf things. Just you wouldn't understand.
Can we make a shirt that's just werewolf things you wouldn't understand?
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, basically everyone just thought, all these people that thought they were werewolves said they were werewolves, and then they were arrested for being werewolves, and they were tried during these werewolf trials. So if you ever go back in time to the Middle Ages, just don't talk about being a werewolf, and you probably won't be accused of being a werewolf, I think.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
The first recorded instance of anyone being accused and convicted of werewolfism, I guess, occurred in France in 1521. Authorities were led to the home of Michel Verdun after a wolf attack in the village. After being arrested and tortured, Michel confessed to being the werewolf, along with 2 other men. The men were called Pierre Burgot and Philbert Montault, I think is how you say that.
Sounds right.
Pierre also confessed, saying he was a werewolf, and he told authorities that they had made a deal with 3 men dressed in black who agreed to protect their sheep in exchange for the rejection of the belief in God. They were given an ointment that allowed them to shapeshift into wolves, during which time they would stalk the land, killing and eating children. All 3 of these men were found guilty, and they were executed.
See, again, that's so interesting to me that they just openly confessed. And, like, they obviously knew they were going to be put to death.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, maybe people were more honest back then or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Also in France, in 1598, Jacques Roulet, also known as, quote, the werewolf of Caude, claimed to have transformed claimed to have a transformational salve that turned him into a wolf, and then he murdered and ate several young children.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, there's kind of a trend here in France. In the late 1590s in the Holy Roman Empire, a man named Peter Stump confessed to being a werewolf after being stretched on a rack. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I'm thinking of the in The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
Don't they have that in that?
Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, they did it to an extreme with this man, and he confessed to being a werewolf.
Well, yeah, no shit. He's being stretched on a rack.
I'd probably confess to a lot of stuff, too. So I guess, actually, if you're tortured and you confess to being a werewolf, you're not just, like, walking up to the police and being like, I'm a werewolf, just so you know.
Right. You're saying whatever, so you stopped getting stretched.
Right. Well, this guy confessed to also having practiced black magic since he was 12 years old. He claimed that the devil had given him a magic belt, which we talk about in the previous episode about werewolves.
Oh, yeah. Remember
the magic werewolf belts?
Yeah.
He said that this belt enabled him to shapeshift into, quote, the likeness of a greedy, devouring wolf, strong and mighty, with eyes great and large, which in the night sparkled like fire, a mouth great and wide, with the most sharp and cruel teeth, a huge body and mighty paws. He sounds a little full of himself. I'm just going to say that.
I know, right? I like how he described his eyes as sparkling like fire.
It's honestly so romantic. He like caught a glimpse of himself in a water bucket and he's like, oh yeah, Peter, you're owning this.
He's like, oh hey, didn't see you there.
Who's that handsome werewolf? He claimed that after removing the belt, he would turn back into his human form. No belt was ever found, but I just want to go out on a limb here and say that I believe Peter.
Do we believe Peter, though, or do we just think he was saying whatever so he could just stop getting stretched on a rack? I mean,
can it be both?
Yeah, sure.
¿Por qué no los dos? For 25 years prior to his trial, Peter alleged to be a, quote, insatiable bloodsucker. This guy talked about himself a lot. There's a lot of quotes from Peter about what he was, and I'm obsessed with it. He said he was an insatiable bloodsucker who ate raw flesh of goats, lambs, and sheep, as well as men, women, and children. He confessed to killing and eating 14 children, 2 pregnant women, whose fetuses he ripped from their wombs and, quote, ate their hearts panting, hot, and raw, which he later described as, quote, dainty morsels. One of the 14 children was his own son, whose brain he said was especially tasty.
Jesus, 14 kids, including his own son?
Yeah.
Is this, like, confirmed, or is this just Peter, like, over-exaggerating Peter again?
Just Peter being Peter. I don't know. I mean, this was in like the late 1500s, so I don't know how accurate any of like the reports are from back then. Mm.
Also, hot and raw? How do you like your children, sir? Ah, hot and raw, please. What?
Yes, could you heat this one up, but don't cook it. I just want it hot, but also raw.
But also raw.
I'm going to throw up in my mouth.
Ew, I know. That was so gross.
Peter claimed to have done all of this while he was in werewolf form. Peter also raped his own daughter.
Oh, okay. Cool, Peter. What the fuck?
And he had sex with his cousins. Whether or not that was rape, I don't know. But I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say probably. He said all of this happened in his wolf form. Unfortunately, his daughter was actually accused of incest because, again, it was like the late 1500s. And she was killed along with Peter because that was illegal.
Because he raped her, she was accused and killed with him.
Yeah. So he raped his daughter, but she was tried for like having an incestual relationship with her own father.
But wow.
It was like pretty rapey.
Right.
Also, and I almost forgot to mention, that Peter said that the devil sent a succubus to have sex with him and spread his werewolf seed. So that's sort of fun.
And we know all about succubuses from our spectrophilia episode. So if you're not familiar with that, go listen to that episode and see what we're talking about.
Yeah, self-plug here. If you want to know right. more about Peter and his succubus, go head over to the spectrophilia episode. Occurring at around the same time in Livonia, a man simply called, quote, Hans the Werewolf, which is just badass. Okay, oh, it's just badass.
Absolutely.
So Hans the Werewolf, he existed in Livonia, and he was brought before a court being accused of being a werewolf at the age of 18. He had confessed that he had hunted as a werewolf for about 2 years. He claimed that he had gotten this ability to become a wolf by a man dressed in black. When the judges asked if his body took part in the hunt or if only his soul was transmuted, Hans confirmed that he had found a dog's teeth marks on his own leg, which he had received while being a werewolf. Further, he was asked whether he felt himself to be a man or a beast while he was transmuted, and he said that he felt himself to be a beast. The court considered it proof that he had really in fact transformed into a werewolf through a magical transition. Furthermore, he was given this disguise by, quote, a man in black, which the court obviously thought was Satan because it was like the 1500s.
Yeah.
And he was judged as a witch and a werewolf, and he was hung until he was dead. Being a witch and a werewolf is like the kind of double life I hope to one day live.
Double whammy.
I'm a double threat. In 1692, an 80-year-old man called Thies of Kaltenbrunn was put on trial for heresy and trying to turn people away from Christianity. Thies openly proclaimed himself to be a werewolf, or as he would say it, a werwolf.
I love that accent. That's my favorite accent that you do.
Thank you. And he never hid this from anyone. He claimed that he and other werewolves transformed on 3 nights a year and then traveled down to hell. Once there, he fought the devil and the devil's witches in order to rescue the grain and livestock with which the witches had stolen from Earth. He claimed that he was a hound of God and battled the forces of evil in the name of good. But the judges still thought that they had better banish this werewolf man from their town. So they flogged him and they banned him for life, but they did not kill him.
Oh, at least there's that.
I also believe this guy. That's a fucking crazy story.
I want to believe him.
How do you make that up? And also he's an 80-year-old man.
He's 80 and this is what he's saying he's doing.
Yeah, he's 80 years old and he's like, yeah, me and a couple of my friends turn into werewolves for 3 nights a year, go to hell and fight the devil and witches.
Damn.
I'd be like, yeah, man.
Keep it up.
Yeah, do what you do. I also found a very, very fun subreddit, which I spent fucking hours on. Mm-hmm. And it's called I Am a Werewolf, AMA.
Oh, my, no. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, so if anyone wants like a good time, like if you don't have anything to do tonight, please just go to I Am a Werewolf, AMA and just have a great time. It's going to be great. I read over this life story of a user called Wilderness Master who claims that he claims that he's been a werewolf for 14 years. He also says that they're part of a clan of werewolves who regularly take LSD, DMT, and ketamine and transform into wolves and they hunt elk. So that's out there if anyone's interested in that.
Well, yeah, I think if I was regularly dosing myself with a shit ton of hallucinogens, I'd too probably be convinced I was also a werewolf.
Yeah, or like if you're eating like some spoiled rye bread, you probably think you're a werewolf.
Right. Yeah. You're probably a werewolf.
Again, sounds like a Jeff Foxworthy joke. If you're taking hallucinogens and you're eating kids hot and raw, you just might be a werewolf. Also, I want to bring up, because I looked up like real, I think I just Googled real werewolves or something.
Yeah.
Which came back with amazing results. There was this outbreak of children that thought that they were werewolves in Texas a few years ago.
Wait, a few years ago?
Yeah, it was like 09 or something.
Okay.
And there's all these YouTube videos of these kids, and they're just like your typical goth kid, but they have like little tails.
Oh. Like the ones that clip on, like the fox tails?
Yeah, but these are like little gray ones, and they have like a leader of their pack, and they're just like, it's like a little clique of these kids that think that they're werewolves. And it's very cute, and they're all like, I don't know, they get interviewed by like the local news or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the one kid's mom is like, when Daryl comes in and he's done being a werewolf, I say, you know what? You can be a werewolf if you want, but you're going to do your chores first, Daryl. So take out that garbage and then go be a werewolf later.
There's a lot of people who like self-identify as werewolves.
I think it's sort of fun.
I think it's fun too. I'm not here to tell you you're not a werewolf. If you say you're a werewolf, then you're a werewolf.
That's right. We at the Quite Unusual Podcast are pro-werewolf.
Yeah.
Just please don't eat children.
That's where we draw the line.
Yeah. Up with werewolves, down with eating children.
Right.
That's how I feel.
We went to high school with a girl who said she was a werewolf.
Oh, I forgot about her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Aw.
She was a nice girl.
She was a very nice girl. And she just was a werewolf.
She was a werewolf. Yep. Well, speaking of real werewolves, I actually have a very special story about someone who thinks they saw one.
Ooh, listener lore.
Listener lore. And this one is especially special. That is a tongue twister right there. Especially special. Because it comes from my mother. So Connie. Shout out to Connie, who actually also has COVID right now.
No.
And she's doing okay, but it's, in her own words, kicking her ass. So,
oh no.
Good positive vibes and thoughts to Connie, because she's got the virus right now.
Hail Connie.
All right. So this, when we decided we were going to do werewolves, I immediately remembered this story because she used to tell this to us all the time, because this story to her is like completely real. Even though she's
so excited.
Yeah. Even though she's like, it's probably not. But to her, it's like it's very vivid in her mind. So.
Okay. I think it's real and I haven't even heard it. So give it to me and I'll make a decision here.
I also want to point out that she hand wrote it on a piece of computer paper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like almost like she wrote it like a book, so she folded it in half and then wrote on one side and on the other side. So
it's so cute.
I'm gonna read this like a book and try to read her handwriting, so bear with me. Okay, so she writes, growing up I watched creature features that had all your classic monsters: Dracula, werewolf, the mummy, Frankenstein's monster, and even the creature from the Black Lagoon as well. Well, the werewolf to me was the scariest creature ever. So here's my story. I lived in the city where we had gangways and alleys. She grew up in Howard Heights, by the way. If we have any Gacy fanatics, she lived right in Gacy's neighborhood.
It is so shocking how close our families are to Gacy.
I know. It's scary. So she says, I had let my dogs out and they ran to the back and they were barking uncontrollably. So I went out to see what they were barking at. When I got to the back gate, I looked to the left and saw a man. And when I looked down, the man had legs of a wolf. She says, I screamed and ran down the gangway into the house, leaving the dogs to fend for themselves.
Oh, no.
She says, looking back, I guess you could say it was someone walking a dog, but to me, I know I saw a werewolf. So if there was ever a reported case of any sighting in Howard Heights in Chicago in the 70s, let me know while you're researching. Also, to this day, it is so very vivid in my mind. I saw what I saw. And then she writes, Mom. That's all she put, Mom.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's her story.
I believe her.
right? She's like, oh, it was probably just a guy walking a dog, and I saw the dog's legs. I'm like, yeah, but a dog's legs aren't like a werewolf's legs. So no,
like a human man's legs are like right. 3.5 feet long.
Yeah.
Like there's no dog that big.
No. She said he had the upper body of a man and then legs of a werewolf. So pretty cool.
Thank you so much for your story, Connie. Thank you for handwriting it.
Yes. Thank also, you.
It's very sweet. I'm team Connie here. I think she saw a werewolf.
I think she saw a werewolf too.
Okay, serious question. Like April Reels Day right now, okay? It's the opposite of April Fool's Day where you have to tell the truth. Reels Day.
Okay.
Okay, April Reels. Do you think werewolves could possibly exist or have existed at some point?
I think so. Yeah. There's just a lot of stories of them, and I feel like there has to be some sort of truth to it. What do you think?
I think so too. I think why not, dude? Right? Why the hell not? Like, aliens are real. We know that for a fact.
Yes.
People in like Iceland think gnomes are real still, and they say that they see them. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
I believe it.
Why not? Why not have a werewolf? Why not be a werewolf?
I'm here for it. I'm here for werewolves.
Yes. We're pro werewolf.
Pro werewolf.
If you have a cool werewolf story, or maybe you saw a gnome or something, let us know. We want to hear about it. You can write us at quiteunusualpod@gmail.com. You can always, always slippery slide into our DMs. We fucking love it.
We love a slippery DM.
So slippery. We love it. So slippery slide into there at quiteunusualpod. We're on all the social medias that have ever existed.
Yes. Even,
I just made a MySpace for us.
Did you really?
No, but I should.
I had a dream about MySpace, actually. That's so weird that you said that.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had a dream that everyone went back to MySpace because Facebook is getting too like political with all of like everyone over the age of 50 posting like memes and stuff. So everyone like our age went back to MySpace.
Okay, well, you know what? When we're done recording, I'm going to make us a MySpace.
Yes. Okay, cool.
So you can now find us on MySpace at Quite Unusual Pod. Yeah, so hit us up. Let us know if you have a cool story or anything you want to share.
Yeah, all of our source material is provided in the description of our episode. And if you like what you hear, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.
Yes, if you write us a review, what should I do? I did draw a picture.
Did you?
Of Gary Busey that I have to mail out tomorrow.
We had a request for one.
We did. So I can draw you. You know, it was really hard. Gary Busey is very hard to draw. So I'm going to swap it up a little.
I would just do like all teeth. Did you do a lot of teeth?
I drew so many teeth. It was unreal.
Okay, cool.
So if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, let us know and we will send you like 10,000 stickers. And then also, I will send you in the mail a Lego.
You have a lot of Legos.
I do. I have so many Legos. Nicole and I will sign a limited edition, quite unusual Lego, and we will send that to you.
I like that. Do we have anything else?
Oh, yeah. So I want to plug our merch.
Yes.
We have merch now.
We do.
You guys. It's pretty dope. Nicole made a dog sweater, which we talked about last episode.
I'm buying one.
If you want a sweater for your doggy. Or maybe like a cat. It'd probably fit a cat if you got a small size.
Yeah.
So if you need to outfit your dog, your cat, or your werewolf pals, head over to our website. You can find it on our social medias too. There's a link there that has our merch in there. It's on Teespring. So check it out. It's pretty dope. And that's all I got.
Well, then I guess it's time to remember to celebrate the strange
and keep it unusual.
Bye.